know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We welcome in Jim Callis, who is one of the top names when it comes to Major League Baseball, draft, prospecting, all of it. He's a senior writer for MLB Pipeline, MLB.com, and he's kind enough to give us some time this morning in Kansas City. Jim, thanks for coming on the show. Cags is kind of just taken over already, and he's only been with the organization for like 11 months, and there's plenty of excitement. There seems to be nothing to temper the excitement there. Let me just start with what you viewed him as when he was drafted last year coming out of Florida, and then what you've already seen him do at a couple levels in the minors.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's, I mean, and this is a good thing. I think he's exactly what the Royals thought they were getting when they took him sixth overall in the draft. I don't think they thought he was going to get there. I think they did benefit. There were seven or eight players who all would have probably been the number one pick in this year's draft if they were available this year. And it was a deep draft at the top last year, and the Royals benefited by having Cags kind of fall in their lap at six. But, I mean, he's exactly what we thought he was. I mean, he's got probably as much usable power as anybody in the minor leagues. He's, you know, shown that so far this year. The only question I think you have, well, there's two questions about him, and one is minor. The first question is, what position does he play when he gets to Kansas City? Because they have Vinny Pascantino at first. Salvador Perez spends a lot of time at DH. So I think, you know, that's why we're seeing him play the outfield. And you know, is he going to – I think he moves well enough, he's athletic enough to be a decent outfielder. He hasn't played there a lot, but I almost think that's almost the most important part of his development in Triple A right now, is getting reps in the outfield. And then two, the one quibble you'd have with his offensive game is he chases a lot of pitches. He chased like a pitcher in Florida. But I remember talking to some scouts where normally that would alarm you. Yeah, you know, he's so big, he covers so much of the plate and off the plate. You maybe chase matters a little bit less with Jack. And he's still chasing, I think, at a pretty aggressive rate. I think it's above, I think it's around 35% the last time I checked. Maybe it's closer to 33. And that's still excessive, but he does so much damage, and he doesn't strike. It's not like he's striking out a ton, even with all that chase. He still makes a decent amount of contact, and he's strong enough that he can hit the ball out even when he doesn't barrel the ball up perfectly. So, we had him on our podcast, on our Pipeline podcast last week, and he said, I mean, that he's discussed it with the organization, and that's kind of the focal point of his offensive development is, you know, trying to chase less, but without taking away from him who he is. So there's a long answer for
you. When you look at, like, major league comps, who, you know, I'll give you who JJ said a minute ago, but, like, power-wise, who's the guy in the pros that, like, his power most closely relates to or has come up recently that relates to, because we know it's big power?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could put him up there with just about anybody in the big leagues. I mean, I'm not trying to say we're not putting him in the Hall of Fame, but I mean, he's like a slightly bigger version to me. I don't think he's as polished a hitter, but if we're just talking the power, he's like a slightly bigger version of Shohei. And I know I was the one I kind of.
He also pitched, you know, so great.
He did, and it's funny. Like, I didn't like the tag. I don't think anybody should be compared to Shohei as a two-way guy. And, like, right. I think the Royals also did what was smart. You know, I remember arguing with Greg Amsinger good-naturedly at the MLB Network desk during the draft last year. I would not have had him pitch as a pro either. I mean, it's interesting and intriguing, but his ceiling's so high. I want him devoting 100% of his time to being the best offensive player he could be, because that could be a 40-plus home run guy. But, like, I don't know, just the size and his ability to hammer pitches all over the place, out of the park, even if he doesn't square it up, it kind of reminds me of Shohei, to be honest.
We had J.J. Piccolo on our show a couple days ago, and he's like, hey, I'm not saying he's going to be this player, but the comp it reminded him of, or who it reminded him of, was Pete Alonso. That's the name he threw out there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and that's interesting. You know, Pete's, you know, they're both Florida Gators. I think we're talking offensively, so I get it. I mean, he's obviously a left-handed hitter. You know, I think he's a better hitter than Pete. I mean, I'll go along with the power, but I think he's a better hitter and a better athlete than Pete Alonso. So I guess I'm saying that he's,
wow.
I think he probably winds up being better than Pete Alonso, or at least has If I had to guess, I would say, and I really like Pete Alonso. I think he's probably going to be a better player than Pete Alonso when all is said and done.
What do you think that the reasonable timeline is of games that you would expect for following prospects to kind of get a handle on right field before he'd be comfortable? They obviously already admitted he's on the earliest end of their timeline just to getting to AAA. The Royals have tried to openly say they're taking their time with him, but like, how many games do you think make sense in AAA to get comfortable in the position, to get more play, to, you know, get more, I don't know, reps out there?
Yeah, I think it depends on the guy. I mean, he's buying in, like he buys in, he understands that's probably the quickest way, you know, because rather than move past Contino to DH and move guys around, you know, they aren't getting a ton of production out of a lot of their outfielders. And that's probably the easiest way to get him up there. I don't know if there's a set number. And I think it's one of those things, the better the bat looks, the more forgiving you are with the defense. So if he hits in AAA like he did in AA, I mean, he spent, you know, essentially, you know, a little more than 5 weeks in AA and he hit 320 with 9 homers. If he hits like that in AAA, if he hits that well, I have a hard time imagining that he wouldn't be up by the end of June. Because, again, you don't have to play him in the outfield every day. You could occasionally play him at first. You know, the days where Salvador Perez is behind the plate, then you put Pascatino at DH and Cash can play first. You're not asking him to go out and play every day in right field and be a Gold Glover. You know, it might be, you know, it might be half and half. And again, I think the bat will dictate when the glove is ready, if that makes sense.
We're talking to Jim Callis, senior writer for MLB Pipeline, MLB.com. Does great work covering the minor leagues, and you obviously see his work around the draft quite a bit. Where's the Royals organization kind of stack up now from their farm system, at least in baseball? We know it was fairly depleted a couple years ago. Where does it stand now?
Yeah, you know, it's on the rise a little bit. We ran to 23rd coming into the season, and I'll be honest, I haven't kept up. Like, those things almost change daily as guys graduate to the big leagues and that type of thing.
Sure.
They're probably around 20th. You know, I mean, you obviously have the premier power prospect in baseball in Jack Caglione. They have one of the best tandems of catching prospects around in Blake Mitchell, who's been hurt, and Carter Jensen. You know, I think the key for them is that they'd like to develop some pitching. Ben Cadorna has struggled a little bit. Noah Cameron has looked really good in a couple starts up in Kansas City. So it's not as deep as it once was, but there are some interesting guys. And, you know, the one thing they won't have this year is they won't have the benefit of picking up near the top of the draft. But the thing about this draft is it's the opposite of last year. It's not top heavy at all. And I really don't think the player that they get at 23 is going to be that much different than the guy who might go 10 or 15 spots ahead of that. Plus, they get the bonus pick for Bobby Witt finishing in the top three in MVP voting last year, and because they gave him a full year of service time 2 years ago. So they will have some money to play with, even though they're not picking as high as they used to.
We talk about the Royals organization as one that I used to really complain, Jim, about the way they develop pitching, and I didn't think it was very impressive. Now they've taken a lot of different avenues in the big leagues, where they've found some guys they drafted a few years ago, found some guys they've traded for in free agency. Does Major League Baseball, I guess, scouts or teams who look at this, do they value what the Royals do pitching development-wise more than they did in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's constantly evolving. I mean, I think not just the Royals, but if you looked at almost any team, I feel like the knowledge of pitching has increased so much compared to 5 years ago, and then 5 years ago compared to 10 years ago. So I think everybody's doing better. I mean, the tricky thing with pitching is it's like a catch-22. Like, pitchers are so volatile. You know, you used to have, I think it was Baseball Prospectus, have the expression, there's no such thing as a pitching prospect. Well, if you take that attitude, that's the best way to never have any pitchers. But you just have to accept that, you're going to take some guys and you might invest in some first-round picks or some second-round picks, and they're not all going to pan out. I mean, it was probably 10 years ago, I think the Royals spent 2 first-round picks on high school pitchers. And Ash Russell and Nolan Watson never really got off the ground. And, you know, Ash Russell developed the yips, and you know, like, you can't see that coming. And it's just, you know, Chris Bubich, you know, the guy they drafted, they traded for Lorenzen. Noah Cameron was a lower pick. You know, Michael Wacha was a free agent. You know, Seth Lugo was a free agent. You know, Cole Reagans was a really astute trade. You just kind of have to, you know, accumulate as much pitching as you can and hope it works out. So to answer your question, yes, I do think the Royals are doing a better job. And I also think, not to make excuses for anybody, that even the best pitching organizations run into a lot of injuries and pitfalls along the way, just because that's the nature of pitching. I mean, I think the Dodgers are one of the best organizations in baseball at developing pitching. And look, I mean, what do they have? 14 pitchers on their big league injured list right now. It's just, you need some luck to go along with the skill, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Last one for you. I'll just ask you at the big league level what you're seeing in the American League Central. You know, it's not long ago where everybody thought you get to like 85 wins and you should be good to go. This is 2 years in a row where this Central looks like you're going to have three teams, maybe four, in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I mean, I think if the season ended today, they would get all three wild cards, right?
Yeah, believe right. That's right. Yeah,
like they have four playoff teams, which I don't think people saw coming. And it's just, you know, I think, you know, whether we're talking about the Royals, you know, the Tigers, very similar, the Guardians, the Twins, all these organizations are kind of, you know, none of them are big budget teams. They're all kind of, you know, mid-level budgets, and they've all done a good job in recent years of developing players and making some astute trades. And it's, you know, I don't know that they're like the juggernauts that say the Phillies and Mets and Braves are, but I do think AL Central is probably the most fun division to watch in baseball, because, you know, everybody but the White Sox has a chance to win that division, you know, and if they don't win the division, to make the playoffs. They're all very interesting teams.
Jim Callis, senior writer for MLB Pipeline, MLB.com. Appreciate the insight. Great to have you on the show, and we'll have to have you on here in another month or so around the draft.
Yeah, that would be great. Good talking to you guys.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.